today I have a children's message. If children would like to come up and gather around up front, if you want to just kind of sit in a little half circle right around up here. Well, I am so glad you are all here this morning. This last week, as I was getting ready for my message today for normal church, I was just kind of reading a little bit, and guess what happened? God gave me a message just for you guys. That doesn't always happen, but there's something that He wanted me to tell each and every one of you. I'm kind of excited about that. I have a question, though. Have any of you ever done something really big or crazy amazing, something that everybody talked about, or maybe you got in the newspaper? Something huge. Any of you jump over a couple of cars with a bicycle?
No.
No? Hmm. Did he might fall off the bike and get hurt? Did any of you catch like a world record fish?
No.
Maybe. You're not going to say, huh? I guarantee you if you caught one, you'd be saying it. Well, here's some questions. So maybe you're not thinking about something really great that you might have done. Have any of you left your jobs and gave up everything to follow Jesus? Wait, you don't have jobs?
Yeah, school.
School? Oh. Have any of you been arrested and had to go to court because you follow Jesus?
No.
Have any of you preached in front of a large group of people to tell them about Jesus?
No.
Have any of you memorized like entire books of the Bible?
No.
Entire books?
No.
No? Oh. Have any of you led a Bible study and taught about Jesus? Yeah? Okay, you got your own Bible study. Well, almost all of these questions you've answered no. How come? It never happened. It might be because you're kids too, right? Would that have something to do with it? Well, even if you haven't done something big, each of you is super awesome. Each of you is super awesome. I want you to think about, I'm going to tell you a little bit of something about Jesus here. Imagine Jesus sitting down on the ground like we're doing right here, and he's surrounded by a bunch of his disciples, okay? And they're just kind of talking. Imagine one of them kind of just sitting up a little bit, and he says, I gave up all of my money and my job to follow Jesus. And then another one sits up and says, well, that's nothing. I spoke to 10 people about Jesus today, and they believed in Jesus, and they're following Jesus. Now imagine a third one kind of looking around, and he speaks up and says, come on, guys. I was at the town gate. Now the town gate is kind of where people just hang out. And this guy says, I was at the town gate, and I told 50 people about Jesus. Then there was maybe like a fifth person that kind of spoke up, and he's in a soft voice, and he's saying, well, that's nothing. I told 2 people about Jesus today, and they threw stones at me. And he's kind of holding his head a little bit, and he's just saying, I told about Jesus, and they threw stones at me. So what he did, he's thinking he did what was better. So all of these guys are trying to tell each other how good they are. Now let's imagine, this isn't in the Bible, let's imagine that then they ask Jesus, which one of us is better? Have you ever thought that you were better than someone? No? Wow. You're all better. Well, that's great. That is great. But imagine these guys asking Jesus which one of them is the best. God's So here's an answer that Jesus says. So this part is in the Bible. I'm reading from Matthew 18, verse 1. Can you guys listen really carefully to this? Okay, there's like five verses. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So this is where they're asking Jesus, who's the greatest? Jesus called a little child to him. What did he say? Or what did this say? Jesus called a little child to him to come over. And he put the child among them, and then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like a little child, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me." Now, you might not understand everything I read, and that's okay, but I want you to know that those disciples were bragging about what they were doing and how great they were. Jesus wasn't impressed. He tells those disciples, "Turn away from sin and become like a little child." Become like a little child? How many of you want to be grown up? You want to be older? No? You want to stay like this forever? Oh, you want to be grown up? Wow. I kind of thought all of you would want to get bigger and grow up. But here Jesus is telling his disciples that they need to become like little children. Jesus says we are to be humble as a little child. Now, some of you might want to run off and tell your parents, "You need to be humble like me." That doesn't work, okay? Just saying that. But I can say that Jesus loves little children. Jesus loves you and everyone who takes time to teach and love you. Jesus loves them too. See, Jesus called us parents to help teach you and raise you to love Him. All of this comes down to something I want you to know. I want you guys to actually repeat these after me. Can you repeat this? I'm going to say it and then I'll have you repeat it. I am loved by Jesus. Loved by Jesus. Here's the next thing. In His kingdom, I am great. Great means important. So repeat. In His kingdom, I am great. Wow. That is amazing. That means each and every one of you is special and valuable and wanted. And we all here, everyone here, we need you. Did you know that? We need you. So let's say a prayer and thank Jesus for His tremendous love for children, just like you. I think many of you know how to do this, but normally we'll put our knees on the floor and we'll kind of just sit on with our knees on the floor right in front here. Can we all find a place? All right, let's say a quick prayer. Lord, we thank You so much that You love each and every child. Lord, we thank You for Your great love for children just like these up here in front. Thank You, Lord, for little children. And help all of us adults to remember how important the children are to Your kingdom. Lord, we pray this in Your name. Amen. Amen. I want you to look at everybody out here. And everybody look at these children. Do you know what they're thinking out there? They're all thinking that you are special, that you are valuable, and you are wanted, and you are priceless, and we need you. Isn't that right, congregation, with an amen? All right. Thank you guys so much for coming up here. Keeping that verse that I shared with the children in mind, that verse sets the context of the parable that I am looking at today. And our next parable is the lost sheep. The parable of the lost sheep, which is found in Matthew 18:12, is virtually the same parable of the lost sheep found in Luke 15:4. Some believe, though, this is the same parable, but it is written from two different perspectives. Others believe this parable was given by Jesus to completely different audiences for a different meaning. And we'll actually be looking at this parable twice because I am looking at it as if they are the same spoken parable, but again to two different audiences. So I'll be covering this parable again later on from that different point of view. The Matthew's passage shows that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, where the Luke passage, it looks like that Jesus is speaking this to Pharisees and scribes. And so today I'll be looking at the Matthew passage. Again, I'll be looking at the Luke one later on and looking at the differences there. But the context that we see here in Matthew, we know that at the beginning of chapter 18, Jesus speaks highly of the little children, and that childlike faith and humility is something the disciples are to strive for, along with turning away from sin. So Jesus quickly speaks about turning from sin after he speaks about the protection of little ones. And little ones really has, it kind of evolves into to almost a, two different meanings. We see at the very beginning of chapter 18, little ones literally means little children, whereas we go on in this chapter 18, little ones would also mean newer believers, disciples that are still growing in their faith. And that's kind of what we'll see here in our parable today. Such a quality as being a humble disciple with that childlike faith. And with humility, it's not self-seeking. It's taking on a certain vulnerability or innocence. Something that we see in little children, even like today, just talking about some of the things. They already have a basic understanding that everyone is valuable in God's sight. You know, simple things that are just, this is what God says, and there's no questions. And sometimes as we get older, we like to rationalize and think things out to the point that we can turn it to mean anything we want in our mind. But as a child, like with that childlike faith, it's having a more dependence on God. So I think we'll go ahead and just read our parable for today. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 18, starting with verse 12, and we'll read through our parable for today. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. I'm sure that this parable is not new. Most of you have probably heard it, whether you heard it here in Matthew or heard it in Luke. We're given a picture of a shepherd with a flock of 100. And the shepherds and flocks were very common in the time that Jesus spoke this. The people could identify with this story so easily, because if they weren't a shepherd with sheep themselves, they certainly knew many people that were, and it would have been very familiar because there would have been shepherds and sheep all over the countryside. In this story, we're told that a shepherd watching his 100 sheep, one of them wandered wanders off. Because the shepherd is the protector and the caregiver and the overseer of the flock, he is concerned for the safety of that one that's no longer under his care. What does he do? We see that he leaves the 99 sheep who didn't wander off in order to find the one that was missing. And when he finds it, we're told that he is happier about finding the one than he is about the 99 that didn't wander off. We have to be careful with that particular part right there, in that Jesus isn't meaning that this one is more important than the rest. It is simply showing us how important each and every one of them are. All of them are valuable. Like what I spoke to the children this morning, each of them are special and loved and priceless. So are those who walk humbly before the Lord. All of us are so important. Just look at verse 14 for that meaning. Verse 14 says, "In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." We are followers of Christ who are growing in our faith like a child grows in life. And our Heavenly Father loves us so much. The 23rd Psalm paints a beautiful picture of the Lord, a picture showing that the Lord is my shepherd, and I am a sheep in his pasture. I am in the Lord's care and protection, like a sheep to a shepherd. If I decide to do my own thing, I would be a sheep wandering from my shepherd. I'd like to just read the first four verses of that psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I think for most people, we can attest to those times where we've needed and then felt the loving care from our Lord, who is our shepherd. To be in the Lord's presence is a beautiful and peaceful place to be, even when there's turmoil around us. Yet there's a part of us that we need to turn away from, that sinful nature, that part that is tempted to wander from our shepherd. Most of you know Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Many of us know that, but what does that look like in the context of a sheep and a shepherd? We find that in Isaiah 53. "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." You see, the rest of that verse speaks of the cost Jesus paid for our stubborn and selfish ways. Salvation is available to those who receive Christ's sacrifice. We know that when we receive Christ, we are transformed. But there might be some of that old sheep stubbornness still in us. Maybe I'm the only one here that encounters that sheep stubbornness every once in a while. But I would say, probably not. But we are so thankful. We're thankful for God not wanting any of us, not wanting any of us to wander and be lost. Yet for a multitude of reasons, we might find ourselves wandering. We might find ourselves straying, or let's call it backsliding. None of us are perfect, and we all know what it is, what it's like to fail. Yet what we do when we fall short, what we do when we fail, is important. Do we continue to wander? Well, I made a mistake, so why go back? I'll just keep on this path and make more mistakes. Do we continue to move away from our shepherd? We know that there's protection there, but for whatever reason, we struggle with wanting to stay. Or do we call out to our shepherd? Do we come back, allowing God as our shepherd to retrieve us and take us back with Him? The thing is, God is not going to force us to repent. See, part of going back with our shepherd is there needs to be a repentance. Saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. See, God's not going to force us. Yet what does a lost sheep sound like when the shepherd comes? I can tell you that if you have backslid or wandered or whatever you want to call it, if you've been running from the Lord, Psalm 119, 169 is what we should sound like. That is what repentance sounds like. And if you want to turn with me to Psalm 119, 169, I'm going to read a few verses through there. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. That psalm is admitting one's failures, wanderings, understanding what it is to stray like a lost sheep. The psalmist is asking the Lord to seek and find him. And today's parable is the answer to that request right there. God seeks us. He pursues us. He delights in our repentance. Matthew 18:14, again, in the same way your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. The grace and forgiveness are there. We need to allow God to be the perfect shepherd that He is. Let us walk in His ways. And when we repent, the Lord is pleased because of how precious we are in His sight. We are precious in His sight. I just have a few challenges to leave you with today, so we're going to get out pretty early. A challenge for you all here. Where are you? Have you been wandering and straying from the Lord? Where are you in proximity to your good shepherd? What is keeping you from fully surrendering to the Lord? And then the third one. Are we treating other sheep as if they are precious, including our children, our little children? Are we treating other sheep as if they are precious? Because they are precious to the Lord. Those are the three things I leave you to think about this week.